Thank you, Lim, and happy Sabbath to everyone. Hope you're all doing well. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we've all made the commitment to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto it. We made that personal decision at baptism. And today I want to talk about voting, being involved in politics of society. You know, some within the church still participate in our country's governing processes by voting. And then there are others who are puzzled on whether they should vote or not. So today I want to examine what God says about getting involved in world politics. This is not my opinion, but we will look at the scriptures from the Bible. The title is God okay with his body voting for governing officials? So as we go through the scriptures, let's see what God has to say. The church, you can look on the website, we are apolitical, meaning we are not interested or have any involvement in political matters. I'm going to be doing some inserts from a doctrinal paper regarding voting and involvement in politics. It's our doctrinal study guide, which means God's teaching of what we teach from the Bible. I want to throw out a few points to consider, because this stance of being apolitical has been in the church from the very beginning. First, not voting is consistent with our belief that we should not bear arms or be involved in military service. Not everyone in the organization understands that, puts that into practice. Second, keeping politics out of our congregations has eliminated the potential for political fights and divisions, because you see that all through society, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. Third, our commission to preach the gospel of the kingdom is to be directed to all peoples, not just those of a political party that we may choose to support. Fourth, according to U.S. tax law, nonprofit organizations such as churches are not supposed to support political candidates or attempt to influence the outcome of political races. Fifth, by apolitical stance, the church has been able to give greater clarity, focus, and emphasis on preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and to encourage everyone to seek the coming kingdom of God by putting his ways into practice today. Members have likewise been able to give singular focus to the job of serving as ambassadors of that kingdom today. Yet, some will use scripture to say that there's no specific scripture forbidding voting in an election. And they use some examples from Paul, Romans 10:1, regarding Paul saying he cared deeply for his countrymen, and he did. Now they'll use this scripture, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Yes, that's our heart and desire for everyone as well. But God is not working with everyone today. We have an example to set. Another one, he took advantage of his Roman citizenship, they say. Acts 22:25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Yeah, so he used that. Is it lawful? Does that have anything to do with being involved in politics or voting? He advocated submission to civil authority, which we're going to look at. He advocated that. Scripture tells us that in Romans. Peter tells us that as well. Jesus Christ does as well. So with these scriptures in mind, some felt that they should seek the kingdom of God first And secondly, be good citizens by voting. Let's look at that today. What is God's view of this? I like to, you know, we have, and sometimes can lean to our own understanding of, well, God would probably want this particular person in because this person, there's no way God would want someone like that in. And the candidate that I'm sort of wanting to be there, he's not godly either, but he's the best choice of both. Is that our understanding? What is God's understanding? Who would God endorse? Who does God want in place in authority? We don't know that answer. Should we become part of the politics, getting involved in politics to think that this is who God would want? If we decide that we should, does our vote really matter since God is the one who sets up and removes rulers? Scripture tells us in Daniel 2:21, and I'm going to quote some others, but he says, and he changes the times and the seasons, Daniel says. God removes kings and he raises up kings. People will say, well, he can use us to do that. Well, let's go through the message. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And in Romans 13:1, Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and all authorities that exist are appointed by God. So has God revealed to you and I who he wants to be president of the United States? Has he? God is in total control. He can allow a bad leader or a good leader to be in charge. And he sometimes uses a bad leader to teach people lessons. He usually gives people what they want. If we decide to vote, how do we know which candidate God wants in office? So I said I was going to read some segments in our study paper, Voting and Involvement in Politics. I'm going to start on page 15. And I'm going to bottom paragraph of that page. How would Jesus vote for president? The question, how would Jesus vote for president, is a legitimate question. This is in our doctrinal paper. If we voted, we would no doubt try to figure out which candidate believed, lived by, and promoted the highest standard of moral character. That there are times when God chooses to place those of the lowest of character in office. He sometimes gives people what they want or deserve to teach them valuable lessons about a wrong way of life. To be in harmony with God's selection of leadership, would you know when he chooses those who appear to be the best or the lowest in the condition that God may want? Church members faithfully give tithes and offerings to support the Good News Magazine, a publication that strives to cry aloud, spare not, tell my people their transgressions. Of course, the average member does not cry aloud, as the prophet Isaiah and others were called to do. However, the average member should strive to sigh and cry over the abominations that are done. Does voting for one who endorses bad behavior before God create a conflict of interest for a Christian? Can a Christian align himself with a political party that would reject Jesus Christ as leader? Consider this excerpt from the Good News article. Could Jesus Christ be elected to the White House? Do you think that if he was on earth today, giving his message, that people would love it and elect him to the White House? Jesus Christ remains one of the most respected leaders, as well as one of the most controversial. that the world has ever known. Most people acknowledge that he was good. Many believe he was a great man. If he were on earth today, a fascinating question to ponder is whether the American people would ever elect him to be president of the United States. So could he be a successful president? The short and possible surprising answer is no. Americans would not tolerate Jesus of Nazareth in the White House. We can reach no other conclusion when we examine the electoral process and the priorities the American people use in selecting their president and contrast that to the platform Jesus would advocate. Americans want religious freedom, or freedom from religion. Freedom of choice to select abortion for unwanted pregnancies, and freedom to enjoy entertainment, including films, music, books, and television drenched with violence and sex for its pleasurable diversions. Many Americans demand unrestrained sexual freedom between consenting adults. They want and fully expect unhindered and total freedom of speech, which all contradict the teachings of Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus advocated the Ten Commandments. He be universally taught and kept as a standard for human behavior. There goes the atheist vote. The agnostic voice, the agnostic vote, and oddly enough, much of the Christian vote as well. At least from those who believe the Ten Commandments are too invasive when it comes to their personal freedoms. Or many believe in 9 of the commandments, but they do away with the 4th commandment. They say the 4th commandment is nowhere to be found in the New Testament. Advertising oneself as being better than the other for the office appears to be contradictive. Civil principles running for office can easily come across as self-exalting and therefore contradictory to many biblical principles as we see in Scripture. If church members voted and they were visibly divided over whom they were voting for, then disunity could increasingly emerge among the brethren. How would the church be impacted if members and ministers displayed conflicting political stickers on their cars? What if some opening prayers requested protection from leaders who endorse abortion, while closing prayers requested protection from leaders who endorse wars that kill innocent babies? How about emails and handouts that could be shared among members, perhaps even at church, that put down another political party? Some of these mistakes have already occurred, even while the church has been teaching that members would refrain from voting. Likewise, strong endorsements of political candidates for whom one believes the church should vote can lead, and they have led, to problems. These factors could very easily become counterproductive to pervading peace in all the churches of the saints. And it also talks about what a church member, if they ran for office, would he be able to keep his values? And it goes on. So does God need our help to accomplish his will? Let's go to page number 6. I mean, these are all serious questions, not to be casually dismissed. So let's address them. Page 6 in the doctrinal paper. Do voters or does God appoint leaders? Here it says the subject of voting naturally concerns who appoints leaders of secular offices. The voters or God? Well, the Bible offers clear guidance in this area. Let me give you a list of scripture. Psalm 75, 6 through 7. For not from the east or from the west, nor from the south come promotion and lifting up. But God is the judge. He puts down one and he lifts up another. Jeremiah 27, 5. I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are on the ground. By my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. He says, I give that authority who seems proper to me. Daniel 2:21, I've read that one. Daniel 4:17, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. He sets in the lowest of men. And I read earlier Romans 13:1. Let me read it again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and authorities that exist are appointed by God. They also quote Daniel 5:21. An examination of politics. Let's consider the fruits of those in authority, of those running for offices. After all, Jesus Christ instructs us to judge them by their fruits. Going back to the article, what do we see today from the political process? Page 11, first paragraph of our paper. Jesus' kingdom does not come from the laws, thoughts, ideals, motives, principles, values, and spirit that the people of this world embrace. Therefore, Jesus Christ did not align himself with any of the kingdoms of this world. Jesus was focused on the future kingdom of God. Christ discussed this contrast of kingdoms in John chapter 8, verse 23. He says, "You are from beneath," talking to the people on the earth. "I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world." He wasn't saying that everything done in this world is evil. Nevertheless, the world's kingdoms and God's kingdom are from two opposite ends of the spectrum. Despite the good things some leaders may do, the kingdoms of this world are mindful of the things of men, and the kingdom of God is mindful of the things of God. God has a plan, and it is being worked out. And so you see in these political races, everyone says, "We need to have unity. We need unity." They can't get it. All they get is division, even with the recent situation with Mr. Trump getting shot in the face. Oh, let's tone it down. He's starting to see it rise a little bit, and it will continue. Page 12. These parties, they only divide before, during, and after an election. Page 12, read the last three verses or paragraphs. There are many things that can preoccupy our minds and even become divisive elements in God's church. Secular political systems can easily cause one to be mindful of the things of men. Church unity concerns the things of God and its primary importance. God has called us to be part of his church and to his government, not any government of this world. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, they quote, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all the churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion, the Greek word meaning instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, a revolution, or anarchy. He's not a part of that. That's what it means. He's not a part of divisiveness. The political systems of this world have repeatedly proven to be replete with confusion and division. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. This instruction regarding false prophets can be extended to many venues of life. The fruits of the secular political systems of this world are clear: confusion, deceit, jealousy, and division. The results of such carnality are discussed in James chapter 3:16. It says, "For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion. There'll be unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. And we see that. And Scripture tells us the days are going to become more evil as we get closer to the end of this age. I mean, we see candidates constantly accusing the other person of how they are not qualified to be in the position that they're running for. We see that character assassination is all over the board when we see political races. Instead of them just standing there and saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do, they can't stop but assassinating someone else's character. Each side believes that their ideas are the best, and the other candidate's is worthless. And we see that. Look at the two running for president now. They each say that what they believe in is detrimental to the country. It's going to falter. It's going to fall. You're all going to be in trouble. Satan is the one who is promoting all of this. And humans are weak. They don't have God. American politics, they don't promote peace. They don't promote peace. God is a God of peace. Why would we want to be involved in any type of government that does not produce peace? Oh, but my candidate, the one that I want, he will promote peace. He will promote harmony for everyone. No, that is not the case. Rather, it's an ongoing fight. It's an ongoing fight for their values, their opportunities to shape what they see fit, which best pleases them. The fruits of political voting, I'm turning to page 3, and every other form of human governance are not good. And that is why the kingdom of God must come to the earth to replace all of man's governments. So here, I'm quoting from page 3, second paragraph, personal letter by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. Appeared in 1948. He says, are the worldly unconverted people filled with more zeal and fervor and patriotism for the things of this world than real Christians for the things of God? He says, Tuesday, presidential election day, will have passed before you read this letter. Those of this world will have shown their patriotism by voting. Those of the world feel patriotism surging through their very souls. It may be patriotism for country, for their college, for their fraternity, their lodge, club, business, or whatever patriotism organization they feel they're a part of. Good News Magazine, 1960, by Leroy Neff. I read a sentence. Since we are now ambassadors for the kingdom of God, we relinquish the right to vote or to take part in politics or the government of this world. Good News, October 1960. Page 4, 1988, the Worldwide Church of God had a personal correspondence department letter that continued to be circulated well into the 1990s. January 1988 says, dear friend, thank you for your question concerning voting. I'm just going to read the first paragraph, and you're welcome to download our doctrinal paper. Those who are converted to God's way of life are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. As ambassadors and citizens of the kingdom of God, Christians are no longer to be involved in man's systems of government. Fast forward, page 7. First paragraph, have members in God's church been passive and isolated by not voting? For decades, God's people have refrained from voting in political elections as an act of faith not passiveness or isolationism. This faith has been that God will place whomever he will in these secular leadership positions independently of help from us. Doesn't matter who you think should be there. God already knows. This has been one of the unique characteristics of God's church. This practice has also helped protect the church from the unsettling political partisanship of this world. Romans 13 is quoted 2 verse 2 through 7. And I want to read it. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. We need to follow the laws of this land as long as they don't tell us to disobey God. We pay our taxes. We follow the laws that are set in place, is what Paul is saying. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So God puts them in place. We are to follow. We're to follow the laws set in place. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. I mean, they do not fear to do good works. Understand that. That's what Paul is saying. But they love to do evil. They don't fear God to do good works. So why would we want to vote for them? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. Because if you do what is bad and you get caught, you're going to go to jail. You're going to pay the consequences, is what he's saying. He says, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister, talking about the authority that God put in place. He put in laws. Just follow them. Keep your head down, do your thing, and don't get into trouble. But if you do evil, be afraid, because there's going to be consequences. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister for you, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So we don't want to be practicing evil. God puts them in charge, lets us know they're in charge, and sometimes they're not going to do everything right. We see that in Scripture. Not sometimes, but a lot of times they won't. But there's times that they do good as well. Regardless of the perceived level of immorality or morality of the churches, abstaining from voting has been a token of the higher standards to which God has called us. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:6. Yeah, let's go page 10, one more here. Because sometimes we say, well, people need to know God's way. And I want to be sincere and I'm going to do my part. But what does God say about that? Here on page 10, second and third paragraph, says, some actions, though sincere, are not focused in the manner that God desires. Jesus rebuked Peter's sincere desire to protect Jesus. And Jesus Christ told him, get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So we have to look at the Word of God, what is truth, and what we need to be doing. It says, though Satan doesn't have a visible office, he's nevertheless called the ruler or the leader of this world, and he influences the leaders of this world. Jesus Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, he says in John 18:36, my servants would fight. There would be an army, and they would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Army hasn't been set up yet, but it will. But it will. Jesus Christ says to Pilate, well, he says, you say rightly that I am a king. Though his kingdom is not of this world, the kingdoms of this world were being held in contrast to the future kingdom of God. He says, but now my kingdom is not from here. Jesus Christ didn't get involved in politics. You know, we have the two trees in the garden, right? Adam and Eve. God said, there's the tree of life. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat of everything you want in this garden. Just do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of the tree of life and receive my Holy Spirit and grow in my ways. But they didn't want to do that. God's instructions were, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. They believed that. But then Satan came along and twisted their thinking. And then they listened to Satan. And ever since, Satan has dominion. Took that position from Adam. He now has dominion of everything on this earth. Except for those that are called out of this world. And respond to that calling. They disobeyed. They ate of that tree. And they decided for themselves what was right and wrong. And humanity has followed Adam and Eve ever since. And Satan is the one who is leading them. I want to go to page 19 real quick. Read some scriptures regarding voting and involvement in the church. See if these click. Matthew 13, 38. Jesus Christ is talking about a parable. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares, those who don't want to hear the word of God, are the sons of the wicked one. John 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. I don't want to hear that the works are evil. Jesus in John 14, 30 says, I will no longer talk much with you, but the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. The ruler of this world has nothing in me. John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. They wouldn't want you to be in authority with what you believe. John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The rulers in charge aren't going to make godly decisions. Yeah, we can be upset, but we need to understand God has put them in authority. John 17, 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And they quote a number of more scriptures. Only those who are called out of the world, given the gift of faith to know what these words mean, and the gift of repentance to put them into practice, can learn and know the will of God. The holy days represent a plan of salvation. God is calling some now. It's not time for everyone yet. In 2 Corinthians 6, 7, in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, 18, the Apostle Paul quoted God's words from the Old Testament of those privileged to live under the tree of life with God's Holy Spirit in this age. He says in verse 17, come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them, be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. In other words, have nothing to do with society, contrary to God. Anything against God's law, have nothing to do with. Don't be involved. And he says, I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We're told to not be conformed to the world, to have the mindset of the world. Conform means to conform oneself to the mind and thinking of society. No, we're to come out of that. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to the world. We are to fashion oneself according to what 1 Peter 1:14 says. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. We were ignorant. Acts 17:30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. His son came, gave us a message. We've been called to change. God has called his people to come out of the world to be living the kingdom of God now, putting that into practice now, developing holy, righteous character and preparing to be rulers in his coming kingdom, as God tells us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Because he says he's made us kings and priests at the time of his return. And then Christ and his servants will reign at that time. So let's conclude over here in 1 Peter. You must be fully committed to be doing the will of God. And again, God is working with people in different ages. He hasn't called everyone to come out of this world yet. We can show love to God by following his instructions and love to our neighbors by preparing now so that we can be in God's kingdom to help teach them and show them God's ways. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Do that for the Lord's sake, Peter says, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. This is what we are called to do. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good, by doing godliness, not being a part of the world, being involved. And promoting certain authorities. By doing good you may put to ignorance. As free. You have a choice, is what it's saying here, as free. Not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Not wearing your choice for maliciousness. Because no matter who you choose, they are about maliciousness. But as bondservants of God. And then he wraps it up in verse 17. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king or the authority that God has placed in that position at that time. Our time for direct civil service is not now. That time is coming, and we want to be there. That lies ahead, and we'll be under Jesus Christ. Let the world be the world. and you be like Christ. The world's age will come. Let's be a good example by coming out of the world now and being Christ-like and taking heed to his words of staying out of the world of the political agendas that just rage on and on. God is about unity. He's about oneness, about becoming like him and his Father. The world does not understand that yet. Let's be a light to the world and not be a part of it.